Podtacular episode 314, Halo 4 is Golden, for September 27th, 2012. Hello everyone, welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
I'm Daflink.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And we are back today to talk about even more Halo news. As we didn't get enough over the weekend, we have more that's come up over the last 3 days since we've last recorded. So, one of the things being Halo 4 is gold. And what that means is they released the final build to Microsoft certification, and it has to go through all their tests to make sure that all the code runs well and nothing bad happens when unexpected stuff goes on, like you turn off the game or the game crashes and all that nice kind of stuff. When it passes certification, it'll be shipped off to production factories where we get the games printed, and then we will have Halo 4 in our hands on November 6th. So this is a big milestone. Halo 4 is finished. No more production on the game is happening except for Spartan Ops.
Ooh. And DLC.
Well, so
Spartan Ops / DLC.
Yeah, so the rumor is, and this is mostly a rumor, that Spartan Ops is going to be purely DLC. Now, I'm not exactly sure how true that is, but
what does that mean? Elaborate on that. What does that mean, purely DLC?
So, remember the 8 gig install thing that everyone was talking about?
Yeah. That is totally not an issue whatsoever, but yeah, go on.
Well, that may or may not be the Spartan Ops, more or less, campaign, the 1st through 5th episode, and that may be a download.
Okay.
So, and episodes 1 through 5 are pretty much done. They may be on that second disc. That might be why it's a 2-disc. And Frankie actually did come out, confirmed that Halo 4 is going to be a 2-disc game. So maybe one of those discs is just those episodes. And then episodes 6 through 10 are going to be DLC. But we definitely know that there's going to be some Spartan Ops DLC somewhere. And they are still working on those remaining chapters, I think, kind of just putting the final touches on them.
So wait, so the 8 gigabyte install, we're not sure if it's Spartan Ops or something else like an HD texture pack or whatever.
It's Spartan Ops.
Well, they haven't said that, but it's Spartan Ops. Part of it could be HD type stuff, right?
Like some. I highly doubt it. Really? I don't think
Battlefield.
Yeah, I know Battlefield did it, but
and Halo 3. I mean, Halo 4 looks just as good, if not better. So.
But the HD pack install for Battlefield was a fourth of what the disk size was.
Okay.
So, I don't think a texture.
Has Xbox just? I'm just confused. But Battlefield needed the texture pack install, and Halo 4.
Well, you didn't need it. It was optional.
Oh, it was really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was an optional install.
And so,
I mean, the speculation, it's pretty evident that it's going to be this, but the install is for Spartan Ops.
Right. So, like, Halo 4 doesn't have HD textures like Battlefield?
No, it's HD.
Well, then why does Battlefield need HD textures at that point? Like, what's the difference?
It's just optional textures that you can run during the game.
To make it look better?
Uh-huh.
But they don't have
because,
that Halo.
Well, they've never had it in the past, and they probably don't need it for this.
But then what are HD textures in the first place? If Battlefield needs them, but Halo doesn't, like they're both shooters, like what's the difference?
It's just how they decide to architect the maps.
I guess so.
But yeah, Halo 4 is definitely 2 discs, and whether or not the 8 gig install is something that you have to download, or if it's just one of those discs that you have to install. We don't know yet. My guess is going to be it's the download and it's Spartan Ops. And campaign would probably be on one disc, and War Games would be on another disc, which would explain why Halo looks so freaking pretty, in my opinion.
Sure is purdy.
It is very purdy. So, Halo 4, Gone Gold, first item off the list. You guys excited? We have...
It's in the can.
It's basically, just under 6 weeks. And that's pretty much been a norm from games being put to gold is about 6 weeks before then. So, they've hit a major deadline. I'm sure people have been crunching for the past 2-3 months. Pretty much ever since E3, I would think they'd be crunching to get stuff done in the game.
I bet the entirety of 343i just let out a collective sigh of relief when finally went gold.
Sure.
They're like, oh, now it's the production company's business. It's their responsibility now. We can finally rest a little bit.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they had like a big party kind of celebrating that they made it this far.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can rest for a couple days and then they need to get started on Halo 2 HD and Halo Wars 2.
Well, yeah, depending on when that time schedule is coming out. And what was the organization that got found after Ensemble was dissolved?
Robot Entertainment?
No.
You sure?
Was it Robot Entertainment?
Yeah, because the remnants of Ensemble went and made Robot Entertainment, and they managed the, I know they managed the Halo Wars, like, site in the forums for a while. I'm not sure if they did the DLC. They might have. I'm not totally sure.
All right. You're actually probably right. I just don't remember off the top of my head, but
I'll talk.
If, I mean, Ensemble did Halo Wars.
Yes.
So why not send that out to Robot Entertainment and have them do Halo Wars 2?
I mean, that's probably what's going to happen if they're smart, at least.
Yeah.
And then they need
to get
certain affinity to make Halo 2 HD. In my opinion. Certain Affinity did Halo 1 HD, right?
Yeah, they helped out with Anniversary. So if they are going the route of a Halo 2 HD remake, yeah, they'll definitely employ the help of Certain Affinity quite heavily. 343 will still be involved in the process.
Right.
Would you guys like to see an HD remake of Halo 2?
Absolutely. In a heartbeat.
So on top of that, though, with how they did Halo 1 HD, it was just the campaign. They didn't do the whole suite of multiplayer. Would you want the same kind of thing, how they did it with that, and maybe depending on when the time release of Halo 2 HD was, would you like to see select maps redone in Halo 4 multiplayer or Halo 5 multiplayer, or would you want to see a full suite of maps remade? Because that would actually take longer, but it would be kind of a more filling experience.
Halo 4 maps, I guess, because that would be interesting to have these maps that were designed for Halo 2, but featuring the Halo 4 arsenal of weapons and loadouts and things.
Plus, Halo 2 already had its, day in the sun. You know, that Halo 4 needs to have a good long lifespan, and they can fuel that with Halo 2 remake maps, which everyone will love.
So, out of the Halo 2 maps... is there anything that comes to mind that you would like to see remade?
Relic.
Oh, that's
Waterworks.
A good one. That's a good one. For me, Containment.
Colossus.
Daff, second one.
Things I didn't play tons of Halo 2. I'm thinking here. What's the one with the monorail?
Terminal.
Yeah.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Ooh, that would be really good.
Did somebody already say turf?
No, but that's a good one.
The thing is, all these have already been remade in Reach. And that was cool how they made the monorail with the Death Ball in the Reach remake.
Yeah, but we're talking about like unique remakes.
Yeah.
I would say
ones that aren't all gray and don't glitch up when you move around. Yeah.
Yeah, and the graphics frame rate too. When that drops, it just.
You're right.
There's certain parts of that terminal remake that happens, and you're running at about 4 or 5 frames a second.
Right.
It's bearable, but it gets sometimes it's like, kind of a jarring experience. I mean, I would like to see some other of the Halo 2 maps be in there, but they've already been remade, like Ascension and Lockout and those.
Zanzibar.
But if I had to choose a second that wasn't remade, I would almost go somewhere between Foundation, and turf.
We don't need Zanzibar. We need Last Resort. It's more fleshed out.
Foundation and turf, I think, would be one of the two. Unless we did a Halo 2 PC remake, in which case District may be an interesting look at.
I kind of doubt that. I don't think Halo 2 PC got enough attention for people to like.
Timberlands
really...
got remade for the Halo,
right? Which kind of surprised me, honestly. But
it's a fun big team map.
I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I just think most people wouldn't like. They wouldn't get it right away because you know. I mean, like I said, I don't think Halo 2 PC got enough attention, especially like right before Halo 3 came out.
Well, the biggest issue with that was because it was limited to Vista.
Halo 2 Vista.
That was the problem.
Vista, yeah.
That was the problem. It was a push on Microsoft to push Vista's platform because they knew Vista sucked. No offense to Microsoft, but I mean, it was pretty obvious. And people didn't buy into it. Now, luckily, I had a laptop that could run it decently, so I bought into it. But for most people, yeah, it didn't work.
I bought it later on, like a couple of years ago. I did get all the achievements. Some of which were really hard, and yeah.
Yeah, most of, I think about maybe 6 or 7 of them are kind of difficult to get. Especially
you gotta,
like, decorated
you
gotta,
and
Rayman.
You gotta arrange people and set up matches and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is, the multiplayer is dead.
Decoration, well, not really.
Almost.
There's still people on there. I from every time I've gone on there, there's always been, and this was even when Halo 2 Vista first came out, there's always been like 60 or so people online playing. And the numbers
70
have,
copies sold.
The numbers have slowly kind of risen, it seems. But yeah, it is kind of hard to coordinate that. We should try to arrange a night to do something like that, though.
Yeah. Now that people have like Windows 7, they don't have to use Vista.
And they can actually run stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, if you have Halo 2 Vista and you're looking for achievements, throw it up in the forums. Ask to have people come in, and if we get enough people that are interested in getting the achievements, we might look at doing a night.
Yeah, although I go on Halo 2 Vista periodically, and I go on the server browser, and like basically there's a bunch of like clans on there having like 24/7 nonstop like flag. Matches on coagulation.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of insane.
Tell you what, Halo 2 PC still has a big following. Or Halo PC, 1. Sorry. Halo PC and Halo CE Custom Edition have a pretty solid following on PC. I think on average there's 2,200 people that play Custom Edition and upwards of 20,000 that play on the PC version, which are pretty good numbers for a 12-year-old game.
Yeah.
Or, no, sorry, 11-year-old game.
Well, I mean, it's the easiest way to play Halo CE online, right?
Yeah. And some of the custom maps for the Custom Edition are really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And the HD remake of the campaign that they did on Custom Edition, there's a team called Custom Map Team who's basically done refreshes on the campaign. I think they may be on version 5 right now. And they've changed the scripts of the campaign a little bit. And it looks a lot better. So if you have Custom Edition, go check them out as well. And also check out halomaps.org. There's a lot of content there. A lot of custom maps. If you want to get into the modding scene, there's resources there that you can use to create your own maps, your own weapons, and that kind of stuff. So it's an interesting sandbox to play in.
Yeah.
If you're interested.
Well, you could join for Halo 4 Forge, which hasn't that been a little missing in action for a while now, Forge news?
They've been very quiet about it. They've been very quiet about Forge and custom games.
Yeah.
Now,
although,
those are
kind of like one and the same in a way when you think of it, right? Like,
yeah, which is kind of why I said it. And if you look at it, those are kind of on the back burner compared to what people normally look to Halo for. Campaign's a big one because it's the story of Chief. War Games is huge because everyone pretty much does matchmaking. Spartan Ops is the newest and greatest thing that 343 is introducing into the Halo franchise, so of course they're going to be showing information about that a lot.
Oh.
So that leaves Forge, custom games, and theater pretty much on the back burner.
Yeah.
Which is, it's all right, I really but we would like to see more information about it.
I really hope custom games gets back to like the caliber of Halo 3 custom games. Those were some good times, like Stairway to Heaven and like all that stuff you could do with the elephants, and like that was good stuff. Those were the good old days of custom games.
I'm looking forward to get to that kind of stuff too.
Yeah.
So should we dive in the deep and thick of all the war game stuff that we got? Because there's some nice new Hot Topic items that are actually, some of them are out today as of this recording. So we're getting some prime content here. First little bit of news is we have another map revealed. We had Solace revealed over the weekend, and now we have another map called Complex. This one is kind of open. There's a big main base with a few outer buildings, and Daft, you said it kind of looked like high ground.
Highlands from Halo Reach DLC.
Highlands kind of has a little high ground feel to it from Halo 3 as well. Just kind of with the color of the map, and the layout doesn't really remind me anything specific of any of the past Halo games. It's more kind of the architecture of things. But it looks like it's going to be kind of a more free-for-all slash smaller team objective. So capture the flag, oddball, that kind of stuff. We only have, I think, I only found the one gameplay video that came out of the convention it's over in UK right now. So what do you guys think of the map from what you guys saw?
It seems
kind of on the smaller end.
Yeah.
Kind of 8v8 or 4v4 slash free-for-all gameplay.
Kind of looks like a Forged map. Like something you'd make on Forge World. I don't know why. It's kind of like
the architecture just seems...
Like it's very blocky.
So what do you mean
architecture?
I don't know. I guess just like a UNSC-style architecture on this kind of grassy plains, you know.
Like a straight out of Ford
bright
world?
Meadow, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't look like it's straight out of Ford. You can tell it's a map that they developed.
Yeah, you can definitely tell.
But I don't know, it just kind of reminds me of that for some reason. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
It's hard to compare some of these maps too, because they're just new ideas.
Yeah.
Halo does go for really, really kind of basic environments. Right, like the meadow.
Really?
Well, I mean, sometimes like with like this, like Forge World, the meadow, green grass, trees, blue sky, just like the most basic kind of natural environment possible. You know what I mean? And like very clean nature, and then just sterile structures.
Mm.
They need to spice it up a little bit sometimes.
Well, I mean, how else? They have a wide variety in there. How else would you expect them to
like,
really
of what like the maps?
Yeah, like Longbow is snowy.
Right.
Exiles in the middle of a box canyon again.
I'm not saying they're all bland. I'm just saying that's kind of, Halo is very kind of known for that. I think it's very basic, a very basic motif.
You could say the same thing about other games.
I think Forge World kind of, you know what I mean, had a huge impact on that feeling. With Reach, that could have used some more spicing up.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, everything was the same in Forge World, kind of, you know. We've talked about that.
Yeah, the colors are the same, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, the layouts that people were able to create in Forge were, some of them were pretty intuitive and imaginative, but it's just the color palette for Forge World just kind of broke some of those.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And actually, I'm looking through the footage again, and this could be almost 6v6, too, because I'm just looking at some of the parts, and there's actually a lot more to this map than at first glance.
Kind of this but big lots anger of, in the background.
Yeah, and there's also pretty much, it's a building with some other connecting pieces to it, and then in and around the areas, it's just kind of open, grassy, rocky area with a few trees scattered. But in terms of trying to compare it to something, I can't really do it. I just know it looks freaking cool, and I can't wait to play it.
I can't wait to play all of these maps.
Yeah, this is going to be...
That I've seen so far.
We've seen five maps out of... How many are supposed to be released on day one?
Nine is kind
Nine?
Of the...
Yeah.
The basic Halo number of maps, isn't it? Like,
I think so.
I think there's nine. I'm not sure.
I'll have to look it up real quick. But if we don't have any more comments about Complex, the game mode that was featured on the Complex gameplay was Flood Mode. So we mentioned this on the podcast last time, and now we have some gameplay, video gameplay of it, and we can see that you actually are pretty much an infected Spartan. Like, you have the flood overgrowth over your armor, and you don't have any shields, and you have this bladed arm, which pretty much is... the icon is a sword for the weapon that you have, and I'm guessing you basically just have increased damage resistance when you're infected.
And you can jump higher.
And you can jump higher, and there's some other key differences in there as well.
I think you're a little bit faster, too, just based on this footage.
It wouldn't surprise me. It's hard to tell because it's not a direct capture. It's shaky cam stuff. So once we actually get definitive footage from it, then we can kind of make a better judgment. But yeah, from what it looks like, all the traits that you know from Halo Reach infection and Halo 3 infection, the moving faster, taking more damage, jumping higher, that all seems to take place in this. But now you, instead of having weapons like you were able to have in the past games, you basically have this arm with a blade on it. But okay,
and it acts
just,
like an energy sword.
Yeah, well, it doesn't have ammo or anything.
No, but even the reticule is the same as the energy swords.
Right.
So it's just like a reskinning of your Spartan if they had like an energy sword.
Mm-hmm.
And they're faster and they can jump higher. And they have damage resistance.
And from this gameplay that I saw, it didn't look like there was any lunge. It didn't look like you could, or maybe the guy was just missing a lot, but it didn't look like you could lunge with the arm if you were in infected form.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think of Flood Mode now that we've seen footage of it? I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
The fact that you're playing as a Flood now instead of another Spartan is...
With a sword, yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting alternative.
It makes it more visceral. Like, it feels like you really are infected. You're not just a guy with a sword with black armor, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's
the
also...
funny thing is you still see the glove of the other hand, which is kind of creepy, but kind of cool at the same time, where it's like, yeah, you've been infected.
Yeah.
And from the loadout screen, you could still use armor abilities.
Oh, wonderful.
So there was one on there that was hologram, there was a thruster pack, and it actually looked like the thruster pack that the guy used pushes you a lot more than you would on the regular Spartan. So this is just me judging from the gameplay that I saw at PAX and other videos online and then seeing this thruster pack, but he moves significantly further when he uses his thruster pack as an infected form than when you do when you're just a normal Spartan. So it looks like being an infected form also alters how effective armor abilities could be.
Maybe.
And having infected use holograms, that's going to be interesting. And can holograms take more, quote-unquote, damage? Like, I know from, like, Halo Reach, how the holograms, if a hologram gets shot, it flickers. I wonder if with a Flood hologram, if it has to take maybe two or three shots before it starts to flicker. That'd be interesting.
The problem with zombies is that I haven't really cared about that game type since Halo 2. No lie. I mean, it's fun, it's a little diversion, but I'm going to be spending most of my time playing objective game types in Slayer.
Well, it seems like most of the time, the stuff is fun when it first comes out and it's purely a community thing.
Yeah.
And then when they go to implement it, it's fun for a while, but then it kind of fades out, fizzles out a little bit. I think it's also just a matter of it's a hard balance for infection because it's either the zombies are overpowered or they're underpowered. There's never really been a good balance for infection game types from what I've seen in Halo Reach. Some people may have different experiences, but from Alpha Zombies and Halo Reach, it's pretty much you either have to sneak up on people who are idiots in Halo, or you have to rush them every time so they can waste their bullets and then kill them in the end. And by that point, they're just racking up kills.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, that even goes back to zombies on Foundation and Halo 2. Because when you got into a room on Foundation and were able to like slash the boxes into the opening, the kind of doorway there.
Yeah. But back then it was a community thing. It's like, oh, if I can just get one of those guys, I'm doing really well.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
And it was team-based. It wasn't individually based. It was more for the fun of it and actually killing the humans.
Yeah. Well, that was also in a time.
Because for Halo Reach, it's all based off of, and Halo 3, it's all based off of independent score, not team. So when it was doing the team scoring, it really didn't matter to people because you could kill the zombies all day long, and it really wouldn't matter. It was literally trying to stay alive. That was the objective. It wasn't trying to score, which is what it turned to in Halo 3 and Halo Reach. It was literally trying to stay alive, not worrying about the score, which I think has been the problem for Halo 3 and Halo Reach.
I don't know.
So I'm, and it looks like they're, crap. I didn't look at the scoreboard at the end. Have to go back and look at that real quick. But, it's actually, it's counting individually. So, I don't know. We'll have to see how well it works for this then, too. Because I have a feeling that individual scoring is kind of what ruined it. Although that's just my opinion.
Just one man's opinion.
I do think that this change is going to be, it'll be interesting to see how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe they finally have balanced it out. We'll have to see.
Well, it definitely looks cooler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fact that you actually see this infected flood form coming at you is like, whoa, run away.
And they look creepy, too. They're real fleshy and kind of disgusting.
Very visceral.
Yeah. I compared it to the Doom 3 cover art. On a thread.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I haven't seen that thread yet. All right, next on the docket is the remake map. So there have been rumors out passed over the weekend, and we finally have some solid gameplay to back them up. So the remake in Halo 4 is Valhalla, and it is called Ragnarok. So the gameplay that we saw is pretty much almost a carbon copy of Valhalla. It's hard to tell any difference between the map from Halo 3 and Halo 4, just other than just the graphical update and the build being in the Halo 4 engine. Your thoughts on this map being Valhalla, guys?
Ooh.
Valhalla's that was a pretty popular map back in Halo 3, so I can see why they would choose it.
There was rumor for a while that it might have been Sandtrap or Waterworks, but I think a lot of people were, from what I've seen on Twitter and Waypoint, a lot of people were happy to see Valhalla chosen.
I'm happy. I enjoyed it. It was the kind of the first glimpse of the man cannon that we got from the Halo 3 footage.
Yeah, and it was essentially the Halo 3's version of Blood Gulch and Coagulation. Or its spiritual successor.
Yeah, it played completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, not completely different, but there are obvious differences in playing Coag.
And it's one of those maps that it's still fun to play.
Yeah.
So, Valhalla is pretty much good for Capture the Flag. Almost every game type, really.
I can totally see it happening. We're going to get, like, machinimas, like like Red versus Blue, right? They're gonna go on there in Halo 4 on Valhalla or Ragnarok, whatever, and be like, haven't we been here before? Right? Was this 2007? Deja vu?
Yeah, probably. It wouldn't surprise me. That's another thing about them not talking about theater stuff. I'm sure a lot of machinimators are kind of curious about what tools they have for theater that might make things easier, and what additional tools in Forge have they not revealed to us yet.
They want to wait and break your spirits after you've bought the game.
Well, no, I don't think they should. Okay, what do you guys think about them like showing certain things off? Because that's already kind of like, I don't want to say risky. It's an interesting move, showing off all the weapons of every faction.
I think that's a rather safe thing, though.
But should they show off all the maps? Like, should they show everything before launch?
Well, we are going to see everything before launch in terms of multiplayer.
We are?
Yeah.
They're going to show all the maps.
I mean, media embargo releases before the game comes out.
Mm-hmm. But okay, let's focus on the legalities of it. What do you think of it, like, as far as marketing? And like, is it a good move for them to show everything off before launch, do you think?
Yes.
Why?
For multiplayer,
because
yes.
It gets you hyped up for Halo.
But shouldn't there be some stuff like left secret for like a surprise when you actually play it?
No.
For the war game stuff, I don't think it's as big of an issue. For the campaign and Spartan Ops, yeah, they definitely need to hold stuff back for those.
Well, yeah. I mean, a story, yeah, but I mean, I just mean like game content. Like maybe leave a map or two, you know.
So there's stuff in the maps that we probably haven't seen yet, and we won't be able to really sit down and evaluate until we get our own hands on it and actually sit down and be able to venture out to the maps ourselves, because all we've seen from these maps so far is pretty much you're playing in the heat of battle. The only thing that people have been able to sit down and do while they've been playing is go through all the loadout options, go through all the armor options. That's about it. There's nothing specifically map related that's kind of like jaw dropping, other than just the maps look amazing. But there may be other aspects in the maps where they haven't added stuff in for the builds that we've played on. So I don't think revealing maps and weapons and armor abilities is something that they have to really be concerned with holding back.
Well, so far we haven't seen any maps with interactive elements. So I don't know if maybe they're holding something like that back.
Well, I mean, you have Dominion, which is kind of like that. You kind of have the interaction there, but you're talking about like doors and switches, right?
Yeah.
No, we haven't seen that specifically yet.
I want containment gates going, making like huge alarm sounds while they're going
yeah.
down.
Wah. Wah, wah. Yeah. Those would be cool. We had some switches in Halo 3. We didn't have any in Reach, did we? For multiplayer? No.
I don't think so.
No, we didn't. But yeah, having switches back in there would be kind of cool.
I mean, they really didn't ruin any map.
No.
They just added to the fun.
Right. Well, for high grounds, there's actually some strategy behind having the gate closed when you're doing one flag in assault.
Yeah.
Like, there was a purpose to it.
Yeah, we do need interactive maps a little more, I think. Yeah, give us more switches and ladders, and give us some elevators, too, perhaps.
And we don't need in every... Well, elevators slows the game pace down.
Escalators?
Well, okay, never mind. We do have elevators. Go play Reflection / Ivory Tower. Then that thing sucks. Nobody even likes going up that, because you always just get jumped on from above and just killed.
See, what I do is, if I'm on the ground level, I go up one and then run around to the left and go up the ramp that way.
Generally,
usually survive a little bit longer.
You don't want to go all the way up. There's usually someone like crouching up at the top next to the
wall.
Yeah,
there is.
You. It's awful.
But I mean, you can anticipate that. That's
yeah,
kind of the point. Like,
yeah.
If you got a shotgun and you're going up there, mm-hmm. and he, like, turns the corner, unless he's got, like, a sword, and even then you can take him out if you got a shotgun.
Yeah.
Or chunk some nades up there beforehand.
Yeah.
Place a sticky on the escalator or the elevator right before it goes up.
Exactly.
I mean, those are strategies that they came up with in Halo 2 days, you know, back when it was Ivory Tower and not Reflection.
Yep.
I mean, that's the risk and reward, right? you can either go up the ramps to get to the third level, or you can risk taking the elevator up.
It's like choose your poison, pretty much. Because if you don't have top control on that, you're pretty much in a,
I didn't
a good
like
battle.
I didn't like the ramps because those hallways were like meat grinders.
Yeah. Well, so is that lift. I mean, there's no other way up other than jetpack.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, if I'm in the lift and somebody throws a grenade at me, unless I get stuck, I can at least jump down and start running. I have a way out. If you're in the middle of that hallway and somebody, like, starts coming at you, you can turn around, but you're still stuck in a position where they can just shoot you while you're running back out.
That's true. That's true. All right. Well, any other thoughts on Valhalla? Or Ragnarok, sorry.
I've seen the gameplay footage of it, but...
I mean, it looks like Valhalla.
They don't show
up
a whole lot of the map.
Well, let's bring up this discussion.
So, did they show any of, like, the inside of the bases? I don't think they did.
I don't think they did. No.
So,
we kind of know that's going
to
be.
Because we only got, like, 30 seconds to 45 seconds of gameplay of it.
I'm saying even if they remake it, the inside of the base on Last Resort was completely different than Zanzibar. Like, the main base?
Yeah, they could remake it.
Zanzibar feels more like a prison.
There's not much to remake in those bases, though. I mean,
they can probably put computers down there and stuff. The bases were always kind of the lame part of Valhalla, because there was basically nothing down there.
It was just some solid, like, yeah, there's just sterile metal. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it'd be cool if they had a third tier, like a basement like they did with Coagulation.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. And have holes come out of the backs of the base or the sides of the base from the basement part. That would be cool.
Or I wanted to say, like, teleporters or something.
The bases in Coag were much cooler than the ones in Blood Gulch.
Yeah.
The Blood Gulch bases suck.
But the top two levels were exactly the same on Coag, and then they added that basement part, which just made...
Yeah, the basement made it fun, though.
So add the basement in Valhalla, and that would be interesting.
Yeah.
If they did that, that is.
Yeah, they should do something to make it a little bit different from the Halo 3 Valhalla.
And they will. I think they will.
I think, yeah, there's going to be differences somewhere.
It's not going to be like a carbon copy.
No. Although it looks pretty dang close.
Boring. I mean, it'd be fun to play in Halo 4, but I mean, after a while, it'd be like, you know, this feels very...
Well, I mean, look at the anniversary maps. Those are almost carbon copies.
That's the key word, almost. They weren't exactly. They were different enough, just barely. I'm saying just don't make it exactly like the original, because then that's just like, you know, what I download, a graphics update?
Essentially. Yeah.
There is one thing that's different on Valhalla, or not Valhalla, Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You want to get into that a little bit?
Yes. So in the gameplay footage of Ragnarok, for a short while, you get to see somebody operating the Mantis mech in matchmaking.
Yes. And I know we said last time that we didn't think it was in multiplayer. We're wrong. It's in there.
We're wrong.
We have footage, gameplay footage of someone in the mech. Granted, we don't really have a good view of someone firing the mech, but it's there. It's playable.
NeoGAF.
It looks just like the ones from Avatar.
Yeah. Well, NeoGAF says that it's a Metal Gear reference. They're like, Metal Gear?
I didn't play Metal Gear, so
yes.
I wouldn't know.
It does kind of look like the bipedal mechs from Metal Gear Solid 4.
All right.
Kind of.
I'll take your word for it.
Kinda, I've never played any of the Metal Gear Solid games, but I just know enough about them to know what that thing looked like.
So, that's another whole aspect to multiplayer now, having this Mantis in there. Are going to be like, huh? What?
So, does it have, like, missiles or something? I wasn't real positive on
that. I guess
a
chain gun would be my guess of a weapon. We have,
like, a Gatling gun? Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't get...
But then again, this is a mech. I mean, it's got to have, like, something more than that. It's got to have, like, some missiles or something.
Yeah, it's got, like, a super soaker on it. Like a giant water pack on the back.
Maybe it's one of the super soakers where you put the freeze pack in it so the water's, like, super cold and it's like, ah! I remember those.
It's got a paintball gun.
Arctic blast or whatever.
Paintballs are frozen. So they really, really hurt.
Oh, yeah, that would really hurt. That'd be like, oh, God.
So I'm guessing that Mantis is going to be a neutral spawn, probably opposite of the down Pelican.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be my guess. I'm really curious to see how this is going to affect gameplay. I'm wondering how it's going to combat with other vehicles. Because most of the time on Valhalla, we never really saw many tanks. Unless it was big team stuff. Chain gun hogs and ghosts and mongoose are pretty much the de facto vehicle set for Valhalla in the past. So having the Mantis balanced in multiplayer is going to be an interesting dynamic in there. How easy is it going to be able to take out the Mantis? What kind of damage does it do to players and other vehicles? What kind of weaponry does it have on it? What all you can you do with it? Can you just walk forward or can you jump? Are you a giant Spartan or is it just a tool that you can use? There's a lot of questions now regarding this. Essentially, it's a new vehicle.
Yeah.
Right?
Based granted, on it's the probably render slow. I'm looking at it right now, it looks like it has like a chain gun and some sort of like missile launcher.
It might. It could be like something like a missile pod.
Yeah. It looks like an inverted missile pod. Not inverted, but like upside down. Like sideways.
Can you link me real quick?
Yeah.
To what you're looking at? And we'll throw links in the show notes for you guys for all this stuff.
So you can see this for yourself.
Exactly. But
sending link now.
Yay. Link received. Link clicked. Yes. Ooh, that can almost be like a grenade launcher.
Yeah. Pop gun.
Alrighty then. Yes. So how does a Spartan get up in there?
He climbs up it and then jumps into the top. I don't know. That's what it looks like based on the image on Halo Wiki.
I'm guessing he climbs up the legs of it?
Maybe.
Because there's no real good entry point for it.
That seems counterintuitive. Like, if you're going to make a vehicle, at least have, like, a ladder or something like that.
Actually, I'm wondering.
Extendable ladder.
I wonder if it's, when it's, like, deactivated, if it sits down, because it looks like with how those legs bend.
Oh, yeah, it could bend down all the way, and then once you get into it, it lifts up.
It lifts up. Well, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it looks like we have a chain gun on the right arm, and then some
missile
kind
launcher.
Of missile, yeah, missile launcher or grenade launcher.
What if it's like a return to the missile pod?
That's what I'm thinking it is.
Yeah.
And
I
wonder,
love the missile pod in Halo 3, even though it wasn't very effective against anything but vehicles. But it was just
always,
so fun.
Yeah, everyone just
it was satisfying getting cross-map kills, like when you go out of the grav cannon or the man cannon, and then you just shoot towards the other base, and then you get a random kill or a random double kill.
Yeah, or you usually just take the Banshee out with it right away.
Yeah. They're more annoying than effective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fireworks show. Although, didn't they have those also on Avalanche? I think they did.
If I remember.
They had them on Sand Trap.
Missile pods?
They did. I think. Well, they had the machine gun turrets over by the...
Wait, no, maybe they
man
had...
cannons.
Maybe they had machine guns on the Avalanche, actually.
If they had the missile pods, they would have been in the base.
No,
actually, I think it was certain game modes that had it.
Yeah.
So.
They definitely had missile pods on. On Sand Trap. Yeah.
Sand Trap. And they had it on. What was the Sand Trap lookalike?
Sand Tarp.
Yeah.
Wait.
No.
You mean like the Sand Tarp is the version of Sand Trap that didn't have elephants. You mean Sandbox, the DLC?
Sandbox, yeah. Sandbox had the missile pods on it too, the default layout. So next on the list, unless anyone else has anything to add to that, is the Promethean weaponry video. This came out in the bulletin for this week, and we have 6 Promethean weapons. They are the light rifle, which is pretty much the DMR/BR/carbine. We have the suppressor, which is basically like the assault rifle slash storm rifle.
Slash plasma repeater.
Yeah.
That shoots super fast.
Yeah. We have the scatter shot, which is the shotgun. We have the bolt shot, which is the pistol. We have the incinerator cannon, which is essentially the rocket launcher, and then we have the binary rifle, which is the sniper. So all of those six weapons are our Promethean arsenal for Halo 4. And I found this kind of surprising, because when I went through the video, I kind of caught this, and then I went through some of the PAX gameplay and tried to confirm this. But the scatter shot, the suppressor and the bolt shot actually don't incinerate enemies when you kill people with them.
Well, do they need to?
Sorry?
I thought
Do they need to? I mean, is that an issue?
Well, all the other weapons do. But
maybe that's not powerful enough. I mean,
I think the uncharged bolt shot doesn't incinerate people, and then the suppressor doesn't incinerate people. From what I saw in the video. Now, the clips on it were kind of short, and I tried going back and looking through some of the PAX gameplay, and from what I could see, it didn't seem to incinerate people, but I think the suppressor and the bolt shot, the uncharged bolt shot, do not incinerate people.
Yeah. I won't be using the suppressor anyway, so it doesn't matter.
The incinerator can is an interesting one, though. And we talked about it on the last show a little bit. I still think that whole having the pod spawn from the impact of, you could call it the shell for the incinerator cannon, and basically having those pods bounce out from it, I think it's a really interesting concept to me, because it's not typical behavior of a weapon. It seems something that you would see more in Borderlands to me.
Yeah, but I mean, the point of the top. I think they were intentionally trying to make the Forerunner weapons seem completely different than what you would expect.
It's just weird for Halo. But the thing is, the other weapons match up really well. I mean, the bolt shot is a pistol. The light rifle is pretty much a DMR. The suppressors and the assault rifle and everything else matches up. But the incinerator cannon is just kind of weird.
It has a completely different element to it that the rocket launcher doesn't, which is the...
Yeah, it's like the splash damage is those orbs that come out and bounce out instead of actual splash damage.
Well, even the initial shot has a little bit of splash damage. I mean,
yeah,
it does. I keep trying to think, what special scenario would the incinerator cannon be useful to me over the rocket launcher?
Someone guarding a flag, like if there's a whole team, like trying to guard a flag or something. I think if there's a few people like in and near the flag, but not directly on it, shooting someone with that and then having the other pods kind of bounce around and get the guys surrounding it.
Yeah, but I'm saying, would you rather have that, or would you rather have the rocket launcher that has two shots in it? Because the incinerator cannon only has one shot before you have to reload.
Right, but the quote-unquote splash is greater because of those pods bouncing outwards.
Mm-hmm. But it seems like there's still...
I mean, from
still...
a personal standpoint, and this is... We haven't even had a chance to get our hands on it, so it might function in such a way where it might be a better choice for some people. Right now, I would say rocket launcher, because that's what I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
And from what I've played, the fuel rod's been nerfed. Actually, the rockets have been nerfed a little bit, too. But I would say I would give it a try.
It seems odd that you would nerf the rocket launchers, and then you would make this weapon that is seemingly, like, overpowered in a way because of the size of the damage spread.
Yeah.
That splash damage. I mean,
oh no,
that's a wide area.
Uh-huh. It's an interesting weapon. It's hard to classify it. I mean, it's definitely a rocket launcher type thing, but it's one of those things where it's like, huh, that's really, really interesting.
Yeah. It looks fun to use.
Mm-hmm. So once we get our hands on it, then things will be, we'll figure out what it is.
They did mention in the Halo Bulletin that people who are unfamiliar with the incinerator cannon have a tendency to blow themselves up in a way. I'm not sure if they're... I'm sure you can kill
yourself.
That's
great. But,
you know, if you shoot it too close to you, the pod will bounce back at you and you'll receive splash damage from that. So.
Oh, yeah.
That seems like a scenario where if you're in close quarters, maybe the rocket launcher would be better. just because it does have a shorter range of splash damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is interesting. All right. Another little note on one of the weapons, the light rifle actually shoots in a 3-shot burst when unzoomed, and then when zoomed in, it shoots the single fire.
Yeah.
So it's the only weapon that has that dual purpose thing, and it's actually exactly like the BR from the Halo 2 demo, the E3 demo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember that because that BR had dual settings.
Yeah. So this is the only weapon that's like that. I think that's going to be kind of one of the things pulling forward people using the light rifle a lot, is having that dual action. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Wrapping up the bulletin, there is New York Comic Con coming up in 2 weeks. If you're going there, I'm planning on going. Make sure you come by and say hi. SparkCast, there's a new SparkCast out. I haven't listened to it yet, but it just got released yesterday with the bulletin. So go and catch up on your news there. They probably talk about some of the videos and all the other stuff that's come out. And they go into a little more detail about the weapons, armor abilities, and all that good stuff. So it's more or less multiplayer focused. It'll be something I'll probably listen to either tonight or tomorrow. There's also a new Xbox theme that you can purchase and download. It's the Infinity Campaign theme. So if you remember back from E3, the gameplay there's a lot of screens from that are kind of incorporated into the theme for the Xbox theme. So if you want that, you can go and download that on October 2nd, and it's 240 Microsoft points.
Ooh.
It looks cool. I don't know if I'd spend 240 Microsoft points on it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it's pretty well done. It's, yeah, I don't know if I need to spend money for that.
That's a weird number of space bucks.
$3. Well, the last one was $3. You'll probably have
$2 left if you have 400 Microsoft points.
No.
If it's $3 real life, 240 Microsoft space bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And you have 160 Microsoft space bucks left, what are you going to spend that on?
You can get a couple of avatar items. There's some Halo props that are 80 points each. If you want those, that is.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a couple of submissions, some of them kind of regarding some information from our last show. Some of them I think we have one talking about some of the information that's come out over the last 3 days. So let's go ahead and get to those. So we have two emails to read out tonight. Do you guys want to read them?
Yeah. Right. Bioman998 says, flood game type? What? From what I saw in that first pick, it looks like you end up with a growth that goes down your right arm and covers your weapon. Could it be different for different weapons?
I think all we're going to see is that bladed arm that's essentially acting like a sword.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be different for different weapons. Like, how would they even do that? Was it going to be small for a pistol and then gigantic for a rocket launcher? I mean, I guess, but...
You would have to model each weapon twice, basically.
The only... Because it's a growth, pretty much. The only other weapon I can think of where you would want to do something like that is maybe, like, a hammer.
That'd be cool.
Have an infected arm that's a hammer. But other than that, I think we're just relying on the sword, and that's about it.
Plasma pistol arm.
It's a green glowing Forerunner. That's interesting.
It shoots out flood juice.
Flood juice. Okay. Daft, do you want to read Sam's?
Yeah, sure. Sam says, I feel like they shouldn't spoil any more about the Halo 4 campaign. I think that we've heard enough, and I don't want it to wreck the experience for me. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Spartan Ops takes place on Requiem. Yeah, although couldn't it possibly take place, like, elsewhere in the galaxy, or is it just confined to Requiem?
There are missions that take place on the planet, so it's Requiem.
Okay. But, I mean, like, in the future, couldn't they, you know what I mean? Couldn't they just
I mean, they can maybe do stuff, like...
Elsewhere, like on Earth or like a Halo.
No,
or...
not Spartan Ops, no.
Really?
No.
But if it's just like if it's just missions for the Spartans to go do, you know what I mean?
On Requiem, yeah.
I guess
it's specifically for Requiem.
Okay.
The only other place I can think of that they would do it is maybe some space battles.
Like bring back the saber or something. We could do that, right?
Yeah, something like that. Or board a Covenant carrier or cruiser,
yeah.
Rescue an asset and bring them back.
That'd be cool. And then they can find George.
It would be in...
and they can find George in the middle of...
George is dead.
If only he would have
to be in and around Requiem, though.
Right. If only he would have left his helmet on. So he says, this leaves me to think that at the end of the campaign, Chief leaves Requiem while the UNSC Infinity and its crew stay. We don't know that yet.
We don't know that yet, yeah.
Says, I think the Cortana dies toward the end of the...
No.
They're not going to kill her off.
We have Halo. We have till Halo 6, dude.
Well, technically we have until Halo 9. Because...
We don't know if Cortana's there.
Microsoft registered the domain names for Halo 7 through 9. I mean, they're going to have Cortana. They can't have no Cortana for Halo's 7. Come on. Right? 7... Like, Reach,
I think they could.
Reach, they didn't have Cortana, but that's because Reach was a spinoff. Like, for main series, you know, they always have Cortana.
I mean, it could be possible.
It would suck.
I don't know. Cortana, in my mind, is definitely going to be here through Halo 6.
Mm-hmm.
At least.
Mm-hmm. Says, I think that Cortana dies toward the end of the campaign, forcing Chief to leave the planet to find Halsey, who can save Cortana. Maybe... That's like a loophole, right? That's just like a...
No, it was something that came up in the making of Halo 4, the one that was shown at PAX. There was a line in there that Chief said, if we can just get to Halsey for Cortana and kind of help prevent her rampancy, there's definitely an urge to kind of go see her.
Right. Well, if they do bring back Halsey, because like her last game appearance was in Reach. If she does come back and you know, sometime Halo's, you know, 4 through 6, she needs to tell us what happened to June after Reach ended.
I don't think so.
Because June was with her.
I don't think
what happened
does.
To June. Tell me then. What do you know?
I don't know. But I don't
she,
think
she
don't
kills think... him. Yeah, probably.
I don't think it's needed for the continuation of the Halo story.
Well, it's not needed, but it's like, you know, let's tie up that loose end while we're at it.
Remember that ancillary character that you didn't even know, Master Chief? Well, he's dead.
He says, I think Cortana sacrifices herself in order to kill the Didact or something else heroic. This would be why Chief is not in Spartan Ops and sets up the story for Halo 5. I mean, maybe, right?
And who says Chief's not in Spartan Ops?
Right. Yeah, we don't know that.
So, some good questions in there, though.
Yeah. Good questions.
Indeed. That's all the information that we have. Any last comments on any of the stuff that came out, guys?
No.
I want to play with the mech.
Oh, who doesn't?
I want to use the mech immediately.
Who doesn't? I'm hoping it's at New York Comic Con.
Because
this is at Eurogamer right now. Right? Is that, what's the event called? Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think it's Eurogamer. Pretty sure.
Yeah. All right. So thank you guys for listening into this episode. Hopefully we kind of answered some questions you may have about the content that came out.
Wait, actually, can I bring up one more thing? Or
yeah.
Yeah, so after watching all these weapons videos, UNSC, then Covenant, then Promethean, does it feel to you guys, it kind of feels to me, does it feel to you guys, like, from what we've seen of all this, like, that no matter what weapon you're wielding, everything kills people really fast? Like, it feels like the pace of the game has just been sped up, like, on all levels from past Halos.
The pace has definitely been increased, yes.
Yeah, because look at like, any weapon, like, anything from like low, like lowly, like to a, like a bolt shot, or like even a plasma pistol, or like up to, you know, suppressor, assault rifle. You know what I mean? Just like any weapon, they all kill really fast.
Well, in a way, you could say that combat has evolved for Halo 4.
Heyo!
It's just like, I don't want it to kill I don't want things to kill too fast to the point where I feel like I'm not playing Halo, I'm playing other shooters. Let's leave it at that. You know what I mean?
I think everything that's in there is pretty well balanced.
Because with how the game is looking, you know what I mean? Like how the scoring and with how a lot of it looks and plays and the ordnance drops, and like they're definitely trying to make it to appeal to people who commonly play those other shooters, and they might be speeding up the pace of kills and such. Because like a common complaint I've gotten about Halo from people who play a lot of those other shooters, they say that like, oh, Halo, you know, you shoot a guy, it takes like a million shots, you know, it takes too long, got to get the shield down and all that. So they could be trying to speed up the pace here to appeal to those people, which could be good or bad.
I can definitely sense from kind of what I've played that, yeah, it people go down a little bit quicker, but I don't think that really adversely affects the gameplay.
Okay.
But yes, they have come out and said that they are trying to speed up the gameplay of Halo and try to get people back into the fight as quickly as possible. The weapons, as far as weapons, kind of more of them seem like they can kill people a lot quicker. I think that's just kind of part of the balancing act that you do from game to game, is taking the weapons that you have and trying to rebalance them to fit the new engine that you have, the new physics, dynamics, all that stuff. And I think they're doing an okay job.
That's good. I'm not saying speeding up the pace is good or bad. It's just kind of something to I've observed.
Right. And it's the right observation.
Yeah. I guess we'll just see how the game, you know, really plays and feels when we can play it in our own homes and
yep,
really, really sink our teeth into it.
It's so close.
Yeah, oh, it's tomorrow. Yeah, it's right around the corner.
It's close. Tomorrow, we have
tomorrow.
We have only 39 days of this as of this recording.
Wow.
Mm. Wow. Look at that, huh?
And that means Ford and the Dawn comes out next week.
Oh, wow.
Are you ready?
No.
You're
I still
unprepared.
Need to read the books. I don't know, with me having to catch up on all this Halo 4 information with Forward Unto Dawn and then having 5 more books to read through. I'm basically going to have to read a book a week. It's going to be interesting. I don't know if I can actually finish all the books before then, before Halo 4 comes out. I'm going to try, but I honestly don't think I'm going to make it.
Probably not.
I might just skip Halo Evolutions. I might just do that and go just straight to Cryptum. We'll see. We'll see how far I get with Cold Protocol this weekend. I'm hoping I can finish it, and then I can move on to my next book.
Yeah, hopefully, huh?
Hopefully.
Although you really don't need to read Cold Protocol for Halo 4. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, prioritize the more recent
but,
stuff.
But, I mean, I'm going through kind of in book order.
Right.
So
You're focusing first on the Old Guard, yes.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, I mean, if you know what I mean, if you really want to like kind of with time running out, you really want to prioritize.
Yeah,
like,
I know, but I'm already a good ways into the book where it's like there's no point in really stopping.
Right. That Cold Protocol was like, it was just all right. Like, it wasn't bad. It wasn't super great either. Like, it was just good, I guess. Like, I gave it like a
It's more of a history lesson.
Right. I gave it like a 7.5,
a real
like
gentle read.
Maybe an 8 on a good day.
On a good day.
You know what I mean? Like, it was satisfying enough, but it didn't blow me away either.
Right.
So, enjoy that.
I will. Alright, this wraps up this show. If you guys have any comments on anything that we talked about, or have any questions about anything that will come up in the future, feel free to send us an email and we'll talk about it on the show. Our email address is submissions@podtackler.com. You can also click on the big green button on our homepage, which is at podtackler.com. While you're there, you can go to our forums and sign up there, participate in some of the discussion regarding some other games and other topics of choice, and also sign up for Monday Night Matchmaking or put your name in there. We do matchmaking, big team, usually depending on how many people we have, starting at 8:30 on Mondays. That's 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. And we... after about 2 hours or so, if we have enough people remaining, we switch over do some custom games, and just kind of have fun. So if you're looking for a reason to get back into playing some Halo, getting ready for Halo 4, maybe you haven't been playing Halo Reach in a while because you've been playing some other games, you can come join us. Take a break from Borderlands for a bit. Because that's what I've been doing.
Or Mists of Pandaria.
Or that too. Because I don't know what that is.
It's the newest WoW expansion.
Oh, that's right. Pandaria. I should have got that, yeah. All right. So, yeah, if you want to take a break from either one of those. Although, if you have that, that probably means you're playing PC, you don't have an Xbox, or you don't care.
Right, yeah, go play Xbox. Talking to you, Lancelot, or Painkiller.
All right. So that wraps up this show. Thanks again, guys, for listening. And until next time, keep on fragging those trucks.
Yeah,
see you later, folks. Yeah. Keep on fragging those mechs.